the Brookers, you listen to CITR on 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Hey, hey, this is Blaine from The Accused, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Hello, everybody. My name is David Dichter. I sing with MDC, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And I hope you have a great day, and kill the cop in yourself, and hopefully the rest will follow.
All right, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it raw. I'm about to spit in this mic like freestyle elfin, you know?
Okay, okay. Wait, hold on. Does this make sense?
No, but who cares? All right, let's go. Finally, we... You're not even going to last. All right. Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival.
Kissing you. Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to Word on the Street on CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting live from unceded territory of the Musqueam people. This is right after Nardwar, the Human Serviettes show. And today, we got a few people in here. We could just go around and say hello.
This is Taro.
Hi, it's Isia.
Hey, yo, it's Andrew Moulette.
And?
Hey, this is Flint Lockwood.
From Cloudy of a Chance of Meatballs, right here at CITR. Today, we're just going to talk with Andrew. Andrew's been here a couple times over the past year or so.
Yep.
When he's had new music out. And we're also going to talk about what we're doing this summer. So congrats if you're done exams. I'm sorry if you still have an exam. That's horrible. I think Joe has an exam in 20 minutes, he told me.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, horrible. So in the summer for We're on the Street, what we're going to try to do is interview or just talk to someone new every week. So Andrew is this week's person. Next week, I don't know who it's going to be. I'm going to have the Autism Rock Choir in here. We're definitely going to have Miles Hunter Carter back. We're going to have Stone Cold Finger here. We're going to have a lot of different people, and we're going to look forward to that. And today, what I want to talk about a bit is sort of something we talked about a bit before, but get into it into a different kind of light. And that is sort of this mass media control that just exists and that is so different from what we stand for at CITR, because the whole thing about CITR is it's student-run and, you know, we are our own puppet masters and we don't have anyone with the strings attached. So,
I mean...
Less so.
Less, yeah.
A lot less.
Yeah.
We get to do a lot more than what other stations would do and we have a lot more creative freedom. And I just wanted to read a few sort of statistics about some things that are super limiting right now just in the entertainment industry, but then I want to sort of scope down on music and hip-hop eventually. So first, in 1983, 90% of American media was owned by 50 companies, and in 2011, six companies owned this 90%. So some of those bigger companies are Disney and other entertainment sources and also just media outlets, news outlets. Another thing is musicians only get 12% of the money that the music industry makes. And this number is just getting worse and worse because of streaming. And speaking of streaming, an artist needs 53 million streams at best to make $1 million and 1.5 billion streams at worst. So, of course, YouTube is the least monetizable way. Spotify and Apple Music are kind of in the middle. Tidal sort of at the top. And Napster is actually the very first one. And I had this great chart that I was talking to Miles about this actually the other day. And it breaks down like how much you make per play or per stream with each of those services. So it's really interesting because, you know, the internet era, we have like all these songs and all this music right in our pockets. But it's also so much harder to make money, and it's so much harder to make it as an artist. So with those things in mind, Andrew, what do you think, you know, when you post a song or you make an album or something, when you think about those things, is that something that's discouraging to you, or how do you sort of fight against that?
I think for me at this point, I don't consider, like, where I'm at in my music career. Like, I don't expect myself to make a living off of music. And so, like, when I'm putting music out, I'm not really thinking about how much I'm making off of a record at the time. You know, it's just about getting the record out and, like, and then trying to transition into whatever shows and whatever, which is more profitable, to be honest. Like, playing a show is a lot better than just putting something up for streams. But yeah, I mean, when you don't have expectations for making money off of a record, it's like not too discouraging, right? But I don't think it's right. Like, I don't think I should be thinking in that way necessarily. Mm-hmm. I think I should have expectations to make money off of what I put a lot of work into, right? So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, one thing I've also found is that with Apple Music, like, it also aggregates the iTunes purchases. So, like, if you've purchased an album on iTunes, it like includes that into your profits from Apple Music, and that's actually made Apple Music like the most profitable for me, because people actually buy like music in album form, and it's still like a large sum of money, and it's not just streaming revenue, you know. So that's like that's probably making Apple Music at least a little bit better than the rest. But like none of them are good, you know? Like they're all robbing, I think, like 70% of profits or some shit. I mean,
yeah.
Oops.
It's okay. Yeah. Yeah. With that in mind, do you think that it's discouraging? I mean, this is a bit different, but that there's always like someone higher up there, and that over just hip hop, I was just thinking about this. I was talking to Miles about this the other day too, that it's not exactly represented in the way that it intends to be, because, you know, it's supposed to be grassroots and it's supposed to be coming from the artists who have really experienced those things. Do you think that it's something that's difficult, or something that you think about, that, oh, those people who are getting signed or those people that need someone to depend on, like, that's not really how it's supposed to line up? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in a weird environment now, in an odd sphere where artists suddenly have a capability of doing things themselves. Before, that wasn't the case. Like, an artist couldn't upload, an artist couldn't market themselves, an artist couldn't develop a following themselves, right? Like, they would need a label to do so. And, I mean, that's part of the deal. It's like you sign a record deal. It's like, yeah, we'll take some of your profits, but we'll market you. We'll provide you with good connections and opportunities. We'll push your music. And we'll even develop you as an artist. Like, yeah. We'll, like, put efforts into, like, making you a more talented artist. And that was the goal of a record label before. But now that artists have been able to kind of, like, garner their own followings by themselves, and it's all DIY, there's no point in a record label going, like, for somebody that hasn't developed. Like, your best options are the people who have already have, like, a promising following and a promising track record and discography already. And, like, so why not try to sign those people? And I think that, like, whole sphere of things just, like, messes everything up. Like, it's such a weird transitional place that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, I don't know.
So do you think, if you're going along the route of, okay, I'm trying to make it, per se,
yeah,
would you be looking for a label, or would you try to do it in some different way? Because there's a lot of different ways to do it now. You know, you saw Chance win Grammys without being signed. You see No Name going around. And we saw Brockhampton for a long time, until very recently, label-less and being successful at it. So what do you think is the best way, or what do you think your way would be about doing that?
I mean, I think I've observed a lot of, like, stagnance in people who have signed early. So, like, if you sign a record deal, even later, like, it's not, like, a drastic change that happens. But, you know, at the point of signing, it's, like, something happens to momentum in this day and age. Like, I would say so with Brockhampton.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's not the only reason. But, yeah, like, I often, like, people who get signed at, like, a early stage of their career, they often, like, don't move past it. Maybe it has to do with hunger. Maybe, I don't know. But, like, for me, I think I'm willing to go, like, full corporate when it comes to, like, the production side of things. Like, if I'm just producing records for people, I'd sign in an instant. Like, I'd love to be a ghostwriter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would be so amazing. Like, that would be the best job. And I'd love to do that under, like, the wing of a label or whatever. But as far as, like, my own art and my own artistry, like, that's up to question, and I'm not sure. I would have to have, like, a really good deal in front of me, something that provided a lot of freedom, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think something really contemporary and relevant right now is, like, Lil Uzi, all the stuff that's going on with him. We talked about this before, but just how he got so trapped that he literally wanted to stop making music.
Yeah.
Because that's how awful he felt about how much he was tied down by DJ drama and everything else. And I mean, it's pretty complicated situation, but I think that was really heartbreaking for me, because, you know, I mean, mumble rap is a super new thing, but Lil Uzi is someone who I really enjoy his entertainment value and him as an artist and just as a person, and to see him, like, so beat up by the industry in that way was pretty sad. So, I mean, I don't know, there's just so many different ways to do it now.
Yeah.
And it's like, which way do you go, and which direction is going to be best for you?
Yeah.
What do you think about, you know, there's all these, like, Lil Pump, Lil Uzi, whatever, and some of them, you know, you hear, like, the one big hit, the one big song, and then they're just gone. It seems like there's almost this for lack of a better term, like expiration date
yeah.
on hip hop. And I think about this a lot because if you look at the guys from the 90s too, like right now, I know there's this big, big tour where it's like Public Enemy, Run DMC, and Wu-Tang in the UK. But they all have to come together to sell out a big venue, something that's, you know, bigger than PNE.
You don't think Wu would be able to do that by themselves?
I mean, in the UK, they can't because they're going with these other groups, right? Because they need to go all together. Yeah. I mean, in the 90s, absolutely. But today, no. And it sucks. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Really? You need to do this? I'm like...
Yeah, no, it must be insane to, like... I don't know. I kind of felt that way with We Are the City. Like, seeing them live when I was a kid. Not a kid. When I was, like, preteen.
Yeah, yeah.
They were, like... super, super good, super dope, but, like, the crowds were always small, you know? It was, like, small venues and everything. And then recently, just seeing them at the Vogue, and then going to Berlin, or going to Germany, and seeing them in Mainz.
Yeah,
crazy. Randomly, like, they were just on tour, and I just happened to be in Mainz. So, like, I just went, my sister and I went to the show, and it was, like, super small and intimate and in a bar, and it was really weird. It's, like, dang, like, these are people that, like, are, like, so, like... revered locally and would not be able to like hang out outside the venue in the lineup because it would just be too much, like they would just would be super like pestered. But like in Germany, where not many people know them, they just have like this tiny bar that they're playing in, and it's like it's weird to see artists that you think of in such a high level and in such a like high regard in such a small space. And like I guess that's the same. It's like that Wu-Tang, who'd you say? Wu-Tang,
Public Enemy, Run DMC, something crazy. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's like three of the biggest, like most historic rap groups, duos out there. Yeah, I mean, like you said, you were just shocked like when I said Wu-Tang, because Wu-Tang is literally like branded. It's like not, it's bigger than just, you know, a rap group. So I think Vince Staples talks about this, and he's really self-aware about it because he just said, yeah, I know I don't have too long. I know I have sort of this expiration date as a rapper. And he just said, I'm going to make the most of it. I think that's pretty honest. And that's pretty...
I think so, too.
...intelligent, but it's also pretty sad because I think, for me, when I think of, okay, who really, you know, managed their way to get out of the 80s and the 90s, there's only three names that come to my mind. It's Dre, Jay-Z, and Puff Daddy.
Yep.
And the reason they got out is because they invested in other
things.
They went
in business, yeah.
They found other people. Yep. They produced for other labels, and they moved on. And it's very rare because all those guys are billionaires anyway. So it's not like it's something that's easy to do. And they're very, you know, business-minded. They're not just thinking about the music.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think about people who I see having, like, who would you say has longevity right now? Like, of the people out there right now, like I'd say Drake is up there.
Kanye of
course. Kanye is like for sure up there. Okay. Kenny is definitely up there.
Yeah.
Like Kenny's not leaving.
Yeah.
Right. Even somebody like ASAP Rocky, like it's the people who are on effing Problems, right? It's like that era, like the whole like Cruel Summer era. All those people aren't leaving, bro. Like, so, I don't know. And I think there are people probably from that era that we forgot about that just didn't catch on and didn't stick, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it has to do with, like, how I pay attention to music, but I remember before, there weren't many, like, medium-level artists that I remember listening to. I just remember listening to big ones. Maybe it's just because I just listened to big artists when I was younger. But now, like... I just hear so much more about, like, Anderson .Paak, and, like, who's amazing, and ICA loves Anderson. But, yeah, like, Anderson. People like that. Like, Anderson .Paak, J.I.D.K., like...
Yeah, J.I.D.K.
J.I.D.K. and J.I.D., and, like, hella other people. Like, so many people making records out there that are just, like... It feels like, and Vince, it feels like they don't have much time, you know? Even though they're, like, so incredibly talented... But, like, it's just, like, where do they stand? And I think it might have to do with innovation. I think it's, like, who's paving ways. Like, Uzi's thing, right? And Uzi, just it's because Uzi was played a part in opening a part of hip-hop, like starting a new era of hip-hop, starting a new zone in hip-hop. Same with Ski Mask, right? Like, Ski Mask, I don't think he's going to go, like, for a while. I think he's going to stay, which is surprising. Like, nobody thought that.
I was going to say that, too. It is surprising.
Nobody thought that Ski Mask or Uzi would stay. Everybody's like, oh, these are, like, a couple hit wonders, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. You have, like, the one hit wonders, like, Designer, who's, like, fully gone.
It's crazy.
But, like, but that song didn't open anything. Like, it didn't innovate. It was just, like, and that's why, like, Ye was like, this is dope. But, like, honestly, like, Ye basically made that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's still down that same lane. Like, it's nothing different than what Kanye would make. So, yeah. Like, and Kenny, innovator, 100%. Kendrick is such an innovator and, like, opened so much for hip-hop.
And Pulitzer is, like, that changes everything.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. No, I was going to say, lots of times it feels like it all somehow comes back to Kanye right now. If you think about it, like, Designer is just completely off the map. He wasn't at Sunday Service or anything.
Whoa, that's crazy. I mean, Kanye's trying, bro. It's crazy how Kanye always goes to, like, Josh was saying this the other day. It's crazy how Kanye literally has access to any single person in the industry he would like. I honestly don't know who Kanye couldn't work with.
Yeah.
Only somebody maybe he has, like, a huge feud with or some shit. Taylor. I mean, whoops. But, but yeah, like, straight up, like, he could work with anybody in the world, and he still goes with, like, tiny artists.
Yeah, people we never heard of until, like, we hear the record. Yeah, exactly.
Like, even Vic Mensa at a point.
Yeah.
And, like, gets the best out of them. And then, like, maybe he drops them, but honestly, it's probably their fault. Yeah. But, like, it's crazy. Like, I don't know. That's really inspiring to me, because, like, he refuses to use, like, making it as his thing. And, I mean, it's so wholesome, because you think about where he came from. He was, like, hated on from the start. You know, he wasn't supposed to be a rapper. He was just a producer.
Yeah.
And, like, he was never given any chances until he, like, made that chance for himself. So the fact that he's going back and, like, giving chances to artists is crazy, man.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I think with Kanye, it's different, because he's definitely one of the people, I don't want to just label him as a rapper. I know he's very pretentious about it, because he gets mad if you use the wrong word or the wrong name.
He might be listening, bro. He might be listening.
No, but I mean, I think artist might be the right word, but I feel like creative is the best word, because he's just not defined by his music, and he's shown that time and time again. Like, I don't know. There's, like,
maybe. I think I would call, like, artist the same as creative, though. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think you can make art and not be an artist.
Yeah, no, totally.
Right? So, like, I think artist is pretty encompassing of what he is. Like, I think it's just a lifestyle. It's, like, a way of seeing the world. It's a way of seeing things. It's kind of, like, weird and, like, it's a weird thing. Because, like, art so often is just taking inspiration and then just, like, turning it into a creation. And, like, it's almost a perspective that's, like, exploitative of the things you see. It's like you see something and you're like, dang, like, I could turn this into something, like, crazy. Or, like, this could be a beautiful whatever, right? This could be a beautiful song. This could be a beautiful image. But it's all inspiring, or taking inspiration from the world. So, like, I think the, like, walking around with that in your head is what makes you an artist. And that makes sense for Kanye to me. Like, it doesn't seem like there's anywhere in his life that's off limits for making art out of. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's hard to understand how he seems to take almost any part of what he does and makes it into some sort of spectacle.
Dog, religion, man.
Yeah.
Sunday Service.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about this on the way here today, how every time I've heard about his stage setup in the past few years, or how he released an album, because it didn't just start with, you know, Sunday Service may now serve as, like, what's going to spark Yandy, hopefully. Wyoming for Ye, and then, you know, he had MSG for Pablo. It's insane how much thought he puts into just, like, releasing music. Like, he almost never just puts it out.
Yeah, it's true.
And it comes along with the Twitter feed and the Instagram, too, but I remember watching an interview, and he was just talking about how even that, he's like, oh, yeah, this is a piece of my art, and that's why I keep deleting it, because he's like, it has to look a certain way.
Yeah.
And even my tweets, like, it has to line up all a certain way.
So crazy.
And I just thought that was a really interesting perspective. It's like his every move has to align with everything else.
Yeah, it's like a design as like a lifestyle thing. It's like you're using design in every aspect of your life. And like even like I'm pretty sure there are theories out there that people have that like his sporadic behavior and like decisions to like say certain things is actually part of an art thing for him, which is like so funny. Like it's sad because a lot of the stuff is like not beneficial at all, but it's like honestly there's a part of me that could believe it, like like it could be a marketing campaign, you know? So like who knows.
I think we're gonna play a couple more songs. We're halfway through the show. Did you want to play a song? You made a song yesterday.
Oh, I'm not going to play the one from yesterday. I'm just going to play this.
What are you going to play?
It's unreleased. I've just been working on it for my album that is yet to be named in public and yet to be spoken about, but it's a project that's coming soon. This song is called Magic Jacket, and I'm going to be playing the first half of it.
Okay. Hello, hello. We're back just for a second here. That was one of Andrew's new songs, or at least part of it. What was that called, Andrew?
Magic Jacket.
And you just started working that yesterday?
Not yesterday.
Okay.
It's been in the works for a bit.
Okay. I think we're going to play a couple more songs, and we're going to come back in here.
This dude.
So what are we going to play next, Icia?
We're going to play Clones by Tierra Whack and Refugee by friend of the station, Stone Cold Finger.
Stone Cold Finger.
And maybe Pending. Some other ones. We don't know yet.
Okay,
cool.
Let's keep that. I'm serious. Don't delete that.
What about Ebound? Everybody walk like me now. Everybody talk like me now. Word on what they wanna be now. What about Ebound? Everybody walk like me now. Everybody talk like me now. Word on what they wanna be now. What about Ebound? Everybody walking like me now. Everybody talking like me now. Heard I'm who they wanna be now. What about Ebound? Everybody walking like me now. Everybody talking like me now. Heard I'm who they wanna be now.
Whack, whack, dab, shit, killer. Watch, I got holes in the dinner. Damn. I ain't been home in a minute.
What?
I ain't never seen no ceiling. Call my guy, yeah, he nailing. Audio, I'm top billing. All of my boys dope dealing.
What?
Super whack, I'm no villain. Nigga try to take my flow. Who the hell he think he is?
What?
I just wanna make my dough. Gotta take care of my kids. Handle bars, handle my beers. R.P. there's O'Dears.
Yeah.
I would never tell no veil.
No.
Spit, but I wear no bibs.
Huh?
Nigga try to take my flow.
What?
Who the hell he think he is? I just wanna make my dough.
Yeah.
Gotta take care of my kids.
Huh.
Just hopped off the plane. About to fuck up the game. Insane in the brain, yeah. Niggas know my name, yeah.
What about Ebound? Everybody walk like me now. Everybody talk like me now. Heard on what they wanna be now. What about Ebound? Everybody walk like me now. Everybody talk like me now. Heard on what they wanna be now. What about Ebound? Everybody walk like me now. Everybody talk like me now. Heard on what they wanna be now. What about Ebound? Everybody walk like me now. Everybody talk like me now. Heard on what they wanna be now.
I ain't your friend, I'm Willie.
No.
Broke as a joke, you silly.
Yeah.
Get right, bitch, I'm Gilly.
Right.
Bitch, I rock like Millie. Ooh, born and raised in Philly. Queen. Fuck around and roll like Hilly. Heart so cold, it's jelly.
Yeah.
Stole my style, you guilty. Nigga try to take my flow. Who the hell he think he is? I just wanna make my dough. Gotta take care of my kids. Handle bars, handle my beers. R.P. there's Odez. I would never tell no veil. Spit, but I wear no bibs. Nigga try to take my flow. Who the hell he think he is? I just wanna make my dough. Gotta take care of my kids. Just hopped off the plane. About to fuck up the game. Insane in the brain, yeah. Niggas know my name, yeah. Where about Ebound? Everybody walking like me now. Everybody talking like me now. Heard them who they wanna be now. Where about Ebound? Everybody walking like me now. Everybody talking like me now. Heard them who they wanna be now. Where about Ebound? Everybody walking like me now. Everybody talking like me now. Heard them who they wanna be now. Where about Ebound? Everybody walking like me now. Everybody talking like me now. Heard them who they wanna be now.
Never can say goodbye. No, 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 no. Never can say goodbye. No, 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 no. Never can say goodbye. No, 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 no. Never can say goodbye. No, 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 no.
All my clothes got my hair stuck in. That's the problem with being an immigrant. Refugees screaming out the fellowship. Church burned down and my house did too. Street spirit cooking up my chicken noodle soup. Fresh off the wings, nigga pulling out the coop. Two door, two seater, red leather coupe. And that shit flesh when I'm cutting down, cutting down. 99 miles when I'm running now. Road man, coyote, acne bomb. No receipt, new jeans, acne on. Said my city holy like it's Babylon. Spit it out the book. Young nigga, people hope you get a better look. Get it how you get it, nigga, cooking with the chef. Recipe was popping, so you know my veggies fresh. Stony with the fingers, so you know I'm picking next. Stony with the peers for my character select. So the gangsters keep on dancing when I say I resurrect.
Never can stay by.
Hanging with the bodies that ain't never had a set. Parties in the lobbies, bitches covered up in sweat. Hut one, hut two, fuck you. Touchdown, touch up, touch two. How I'm living life, that's a problem with being a young nigga. Loki trying to stunt and have some fun, nigga. Well, if I save the streets, I'll get them guns. You stuck up in my old ways, you can hear the slums whisper.
Never can stay goodbye.
Hello, hello, hello. We are back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Word on the Street.
Word on the Street.
You just heard a Stone Cold Finger song. That was Refugee. A good crazy friend of the show.
Gas.
He'll be around soon.
Stone's crazy.
Yeah. Speaking of Stone and speaking of Andrew, they got a show coming up soon. Next week, next May Friday, May 3rd.
May 3rd, Fortune.
Locals only.
Fortune.
Locals only events. Shout out Pernilla.
Shout out, big shout out Pernilla. Ski Mask came out to her event last night, so that's pretty cool.
Moves.
Also got A4, Prado, JML, Dirty CPU, but Andrew and Stone.
Yeah, come support.
Yeah, come support. Always a good time, Fortune, locals only. Catch us dancing around. That's May 3rd, 19 plus, obviously, $10 cover, just a heads up. But definitely come out and come say hi to us.
Sweet.
I also have a very important announcement to
yes
make. Starting next week, from Thursdays 3 to 4, I'm going to have a show.
Woo! It's called 1 dB Up. And this is Andrew Moulat.
It's going to be really good. Listen.
1 dB Up.
Yeah, that.
It'll be good. So, moving on. I think, just thinking about your song that you played earlier, something I wanted to bring up, also because we were talking about grassroots. Earlier this year, I talked a lot about Lauryn Hill and how important Lauryn Hill is important.
how important
it's been Lauryn a long
Hill
day.
Is important.
Sorry. Whoa. Let me try again. Sorry. How important Lauryn Hill is to hip-hop today. And I was thinking about this when I did my piece on her. Lauryn Hill came in as a female artist in hip-hop, and hip-hop didn't have this identity in 97 because Pac and Biggie both got shot and killed. And yeah, there's this huge identity crisis. Like, what is it? And Lauryn Hill comes in and she raps and she sings and she does both. and she's emotionally vulnerable and she does all this stuff and everyone's like, whoa, this is crazy. And she acts.
Yeah.
And she can do all this stuff.
Best movie ever.
And I think when I was thinking about this, oh, this is such a chain reaction, because then over the early 2000s, you got a little more emotional, and then really when 808s came out and when Cudi came out with Man on the Moon, it was just getting more and more, okay, you know, it's okay to be vulnerable and it's okay to sing if you're also a rapper. And then as we got into mumble rap, you see someone like Lil Uzi Vert, who's very like, emo and punk influenced, but also just very vulnerable. So I wanted to ask you, do you think like that chain reaction has sort of led to some of your music? Because we know that you rap, but that song was a lot more singing, and we know that you can sing too if you want to. So what do you think?
But I don't want to though. I don't feel like it right now.
How do you think that plays into the fact that this stereotype of a rapper is this very hyper masculine, like macho guy, but now it's very evolved and it's developing and it's changing every day?
It's evolved, but I think there are remnants for sure. I mean, like when I talk about experiences that I have with people who are bigger than me and like more notable, like it's always on some, like, I don't know, it's there's a very big image to uphold for a lot of rappers out there. You know, they feel like they have to be something, and they like are always working towards it. You can see that they're trying to be something at all times. I don't know, like, and it affects their interactions with people. Like, it makes them talk down to you if you're like beneath them on the hierarchy of like followers. So like, it's crazy. Like, it I think there's a lot of that toxic masculinity still in hip-hop. I just think it manifests in a different way. And yeah, like, it's still about like being hard, you know, like it's always about that. Like, it's always about being cool. And I think honestly, a lot of the time, like, emo culture and like emo mannerisms and behaviors and aesthetics are like used to just fit like what's popping right now. Like, I don't think that people are really like experiencing, not like often it's true, but like a lot of rappers I know for sure definitely just go into that just so that it like so they can fit what people want to see and consume. So like, I don't know, it's a lot of like performative stuff going on, you know, like at all times. And I think that's a lot of what hip-hop is though. Like, hip-hop is like a performance. It's always been that, you know. I mean, it's always braggadocious. It's always been speak yourself up more than what you are, just because they won't let you be anything, you know. It's like, nobody's gonna let you be anything. You have to talk about yourself like you're what's up, you know. You have to talk about yourself like you're the best thing that ever touched the mic, you know. So like, I don't know, I think image has a lot to do with hip-hop.
Just thinking about this again, toxic masculinity, great way of putting it, of course, and something that we talk about a lot here. Just thinking about before Lauryn Hill, even someone like 3Stacks, one of the reasons why 3Stacks and Big Boi started to divide and just Outkast kind of didn't work out is because he started to sing more.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that because he wanted to sing and he wanted to be more emotional, everyone was like, yeah, get out of here.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
You're a rapper. You got to be hard. And everyone on the streets was like, oh, you can't dress like that. You can't wear that. You can't say that. You can't feel this. So it's really interesting how much that has developed. But why do you think it's still so predominant? Do you think it's because of toxic masculinity, or do you think it's something else? Because you can still see someone like Ye or someone like Cudi or Lil Uzi, you know, be emotional, and they can be the biggest thing. But you also see all these other guys, and they'll be like, no, I can't do that.
I think it's a misunderstanding of what makes hip-hop hip-hop. I think it's just like I think that's important to hip-hop, and like image is important to hip-hop, but like, upholding a masculine image is not important to hip hop. Upholding a certain type of image is not important to hip hop. Upholding an image is a part of hip hop. It's like, you like gotta like be out there with something to like, you have to be a character. You have to like develop your character, but whatever, it can be whatever you want it to be, like literally anything. And the misunderstanding is what it should be. and thinking that there is something that that should be. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that hip hop is defined by like a certain character that you have to be, and that's not true. But you have to be a character. I would say that. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a friend, really, really, really cool person. They're actually a drag performer. Their name is Amy Grindhouse, and they're super dope, super talented, and they know so much about females in hip hop. And like, one thing that's super tragic is that so often females in hip hop will only be accepted by like the masculine consensus if they fit that masculine character. Yeah. Like if it, I don't know, it's just, it's so, and it's really incredible now to see that a lot of females are able to just hop on a mic and be like, for one, overtly sexual. They can say like whatever they want. And that is like the goal. Like they can be whatever character, whatever person they want, and now they're free to do so, and they can do so while being supported, which is super dope. But before, like, you would often, like, if you were a girl, like, you couldn't rap unless you were willing to like put up this masculine image, which is so stupid. Like, why? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't know. I don't know. I like, and it's across the board. It's like Lil Sims. I don't know if anybody listens to Lil Sims, but Lil Sims so dope, but like so able to be emotionally vulnerable. And back to Lauryn Hill, like the capability to sing on a record and like and rap, but like yeah, it wasn't Lauryn Hill trying to be like whatever tomboyish or however yeah. you want to put it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting thing, but yeah, Amy Grindhouse like totally like educated me a lot on like. On that whole idea and concept in hip hop, and me being a person that felt like I was like informed and well read on hip hop, like I wasn't at that point.
Yeah,
but it's so like much. It opened a whole new world for me, and I'm like, wow, like Lil Kim, like Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, now like all these people, and like more, like now like Rico Nasty, like Prada, who's gonna be playing at the show, like. Hella people, so many artists, Lil Sims, like all, like the list goes on, but like these people are all so a part of such an amazing story in hip hop, and it's really important to like look into and read up on for sure, but it's all centered on that character thing. It's like it's not about upholding a certain character; it's about upholding character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. I think thinking about this psychologically. I took this personality class last semester, and I think about this a lot when I'm thinking about something like hip-hop, because it was so defined by what is masculine and what is feminine. And as a male rapper, what is cool to say and what's not, because it's too emotional or whatever, quote-unquote, right?
Or it's sus, or it's like pause or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, okay, hold on.
Right, so every reaction to Brockhampton, like the first time... the first time they hear like Kevin's verse on Star, they're all like, whoa, can you say that? And they get all
I just gave him a head, and everybody's like, wait, pause, bro. Wait, he just say that? And like people like getting hella YouTube views off of like reaction videos.
So
stupid, bro.
I watch them though. That's the problem.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, yeah. But I think what I'm trying to say is it's important to think of it as, you know, you're either. You can be expressive about things or you can be instrumental about things. Mm. And I try to think about it in this way. And it's kind of difficult because when you say those words, of course, you're going to associate male and female with one or the other. But if you think about it in a different way and you think, okay, everyone has some of these traits and someone has these traits.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay because I'm telling you, like, everyone in this room has been made fun of for some reason because they express the opposite of what that stereotype is or that expectation is.
Yeah.
And that's totally normal. And I think that's the big thing in hip hop too, is just that fear of being criticized for, you know, not being confident about being more feminine about something or being, you know, representing a different group about something.
That's true.
I think that's important to acknowledge.
I think so as well. You know, and I mean, in the end, it's like, it seems like the genre is like obsessive over gender, which is weird. Like it seems like so unnecessary. It's like, why is this a matter? And like, I don't know what that would look like in the future, like how that could be changed or how that could be moved. But like, yeah, I don't know. I like one thing I talk about a lot with my friends is like, like non-binary representation in pop culture and in like celebrity circles. And like there are celebrities out there and artists and musicians and actors that are non-binary, but like they are in like kind of a liminal state with coming out about it, because it's like, I don't know, like they feel like it's I guess burdensome. There's a lot of reasons, like they like there's a lot of things that kind of stall that whole process, but it'd be incredible to see that kind of representation in hip-hop. Like how that would confuse people would be insane.
Yeah,
like it would force so many people to confront like an idea that they wouldn't have thought of at any other point. But like, yeah, like I don't know, you just think about the immense amount of expectations set on a rapper based on their gender. It's like, to see those expectations like not have a basis is hilarious, and I would love to see that. I would love to see people just be like confused.
Yeah, I mean, hip-hop is definitely seen through an extremely binary lens. It's just like one or the other.
Yep.
And it's really ironic, I think, because one of the most important essential things about hip-hop is the people who made it in the start of the beginning of what it was is that they struggled so hard to become a musician and to tell the stories and the experiences they went through that were hardships, things that we can never imagine as listeners, as people who haven't been in those situations. And at the start, for the most part, that was all men.
Yep.
And all those guys were told, yeah, you can talk about it, but you can't like cry about it, right?
Word.
Like you can rap about it. And it's just so ironic and juxtaposed that they've been through things we can't imagine, things that are super violent and horrible and, you know, to the point where it's like, how did you even make it here? But you can't cry about it. You can't get overly emotional about it. You can tell your story, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really interesting that finally now it's like you can share it in a different way and you can say it how you want to say it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. I think, I don't know, maybe the identity of hip-hop being like about upholding character, no matter the character, is like only a new thing. I don't think so, though. I think it's true across the whole chronology of it. But like, especially now, like when you do have more room to express yourself, like this is a genre where you have to uphold character. And I think it's one where you have to innovate character too. And that's going back to our first conversation earlier of like, who has longevity? It's like all the people who innovated and created lanes in hip hop. Nobody who like came up on a wave stays in the game. Yeah. People just want to hear what they like. I'm always down to hear what the creator of an era comes out with.
Mm-hmm.
Like Soulja Boy, always down to hear what Soulja Boy is making right now, because Soulja Boy made an era.
Yeah.
Like, at least for me in my life, like he like defined those years of my life for sure with his songs. And so like I'll always be like looking out for Soulja Boy. I'll be like, yo, like, what's he working on now? But like, I don't know, man, like, yeah, I think it's just about being creative and unique with your character, you know.
Yeah I think when you're talking about a lot of female rappers, you know, not conforming to this stereotype and this expectation of what the female rapper was quote-unquote supposed to be.
Yeah.
I think a really great example of a male rapper doing that recently was Denzel Curry, because in his recent album, one of the songs and the themes throughout the album is there's this girl he's talking about who was molested as a child. And then when he was on The Breakfast Club, he came out and he said, yeah, I was molested as a child.
Yeah.
And that was huge. That was humongous for a male rapper, a straight male rapper, to say that.
Yeah.
And talk, oh, yeah, like I'm traumatized by this and I'm this emotionally vulnerable. I just think that no one really like talked about it too much. And I just wanted to say, like, yeah.
I mean, in hip hop, you see like, what's his name? The homie like made fun of the other dude. Like, who was it? 50? Was it 50 Cent? He like made fun of the dude for like being assaulted as a child. Terry Crews.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't even a child when it was like some producer just came up to him and like grabbed him, and he couldn't do anything because like,
word, yeah, I mean,
his job, get arrested, I mean, and no one would believe him.
I mean, either way, but you got this person who's looked up to in hip hop, like 50 Cent, like making fun of people for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, goodness gracious, you're right. It is like, it does take a lot. I mean, never, like, no matter the gender or situation or scenario, like that like stepping forward with information like that is always so taxing and so terrible to do. And it's not even like the, it shouldn't be expected of anybody, honestly. But yeah, like it's not a space where things like that are acceptable. Like people don't, like hip hop doesn't accept that. So it's like, it's really hard when people are in those situations. Like what, how do you feel? I mean, Kevin Abstract or like any queer rapper, like it's tough. Like you can't just like feel like you're accepted for who you are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, it actually like, while I think it's like ironic and like kind of funny to watch Kevin's old freestyles, like it is, yeah, it is really sad, like to see him in school. Like, yeah, he's like, he's in school and he's rapping and he's like, he's talking about like whatever, he's rap battle is like, oh, you're bi or whatever, you're gay. Like that's what he says, mm-hmm, to other people in his verses. And then like you hear years later that he's like, yeah, I was gay. Like in high school, like I was just gay. I was uncomfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
And like the fact that he was like in that position, like mm-hmm, trying to uphold this image of like, yeah, like I'm in a rap battle, I just got to call people gay. Like that's what you do. Mm-hmm. Right. That's crazy. That's crazy sad. It's mm-hmm, so sad to me, honestly. But
yeah, I think to end this conversation off, I don't know how this didn't come up. How he didn't come up earlier, but Frank really ties everything together we talked about today. I did want to mention Frank because we're talking about how there's the big labels and there's the people who have control of everything.
Yeah.
And there's only a handful of those people. What Frank did is he got around that. And I don't think anyone else has ever done it quite like he did, because
yeah,
what he did is, you know, with the delay between Channel Orange and what became Endless and Blonde, is that he had this pretty much this deal for one album under Def Jam. And he was really mad at Def Jam because Def Jam, I mean, dream label if you're a rapper. It's like the biggest one ever.
Yeah.
But they're pretty much just treating him like any other person who got signed. And then he pulls out Endless. And I'm telling you, that stream when he's building the stairs, what he was trying to say is like, I'm building my own way right now, because then he drops Blonde because Endless fulfilled the contract.
Yeah.
Then he was independent. And Apple's like, yeah, here's 20 mil for Blonde. Releases Blonde, and like I was saying, you need a lot of streams to go platinum. To make $1 million, you need a lot of streams, but he got platinum on Blonde by himself.
Of course.
That's crazy.
Of course. There's no he wouldn't. I mean, he had the infrastructure too. So
that's
like,
crazy. Yeah.
like it's Frank Ocean.
And right? Just Frank also with this conversation, of course, he's super interconnected with this. You know, he can actually rap better than a lot of rappers, and when
it's
you think
true.
Of Frank Ocean,
crazy,
you're probably not thinking of him as a rapper.
It's true. It's but crazy,
he's both.
Bro.
He's both.
He hung out with Golf, bro. I think what's crazy is that he, like, I know we're pulling up to the end, but I think it's
yeah.
crazy that he, like, even engineered, like, the fizzling of Endless. Like, yeah. it wasn't, like, popping. Like, nobody listened to Endless.
Yeah.
I was like, how did he do that? He's like, Def Jam, here you go. Have this record that nobody's going to listen to.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming.
Yep.
See you again soon.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for Flint Lock, but you didn't say anything today.
Yeah, this is Flint Lockwood. I'm going to make it rain meatballs.
Thanks for listening to We're on the Street. We'll see you again next Friday at the same time.
Flint, don't do that.
Have a great day.
Stop.
Are you just going straight?
Hello.
Whoa, wait.
Whoa, my mic is up real high.
My white.
My wife.
Maybe that's the problem.
Oh, that's a lot. It sounds really echoey in my headphones.
Really?
I feel like they could be being picked up on your mic, too.
Probably.
Sit further away. Sit in the hallway.
Yeah. How's that?
Better.
Okay.
Kind of. Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry. Turn these down.
All right. Let me turn these up. Turn these down. And then we can get a little bit of a NPR thing.
Hello. This is much better.
Ooh, that's a spicy meatball.
That's a spicy meatball.
Okay. All right, let's start the theme.
Let's start the theme.
Lock the gates.
comedy around is dongish.
That's right. You're listening to
Radio Pizza.
Pizza party. On CITR 101.9 FM. Broadcasting live from. Broadcasting live, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Might
not be live at 6 o'clock, but it's live recorded.
We're out live from 6 o'clock. It's Radio Pizza.
A party!
Party. I am Tristan.
I am Jack.
Cool. We are broadcasting from UBC campus at CITR 101.9 FM.
That's where we are.
On the unceded territory of the Musqueam people. Here at, like I said.
CITR.
So, Jack, why don't you give people a little rundown of what kind of stuff
we do week in and week out is We talk to each other primarily because we are usually 2/3 of the hosts of the show. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have a guest. I'd say about half the time we have a guest. Most of the time that guest is the best.
Yeah, the best guest I ever did test.
Yeah.
I test
We put our
every time.
Guests through tests, usually the SATs. And then we talk about the news of the day, the news of yesterday.